It's the internet. You're busy. Let's do this. Welcome to the Games Beat Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything in video games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb, and with me is...
Mike Minotti, newly vaccinated Mike Minotti.
Yeah, you feeling different?
I feel weird right now. Mostly kind of just tired, a little sore, but, you know, it felt so good going in. Also, real quick, Nick Turbo sent $2 on Super Chat just saying, hope you get better soon. Mike, congrats on the shot. Thank you, Nick. I don't feel bad. I'm ready for sleepy times after this. Sleepy times for Mikey times.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unheard of, though. Like, my wife got, I mean, she got the Pfizer, you got Moderna. She got Pfizer. And that first shot really, really kicked her butt. She was really not good that day. A second shot, she was all good. What I hear. It's different for everybody.
I don't want people to miss out who are just watching this part. But yeah, look, there's the shot thing. And yeah, ripping this Band-Aid off.
For everyone listening, he's showing a Band-Aid, and it looks like it appears to be attached to a gorilla arm.
It's hairy. I have some hair. It's rough.
Did the nurse or the doctor, whoever administered it, when they put the Band-Aid on, did they comment on the hair?
No, I always do immediately first. I don't give them a chance.
It's 8 mile strategy. Eminem says all the bad things about himself being white, so they can't say anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, today's episode, we got news and games. I'm going to turn on broadcast, because we're doing this a little bit early, because we want Mikey to be able to go take a nap, and so my kids might be yelling in the background. Yeah, nappies for Mikey. But we're going to try to get this through this show. I think it's going to be a fun one. If there's weird energy, deal with it. We got news, we've got games. First, though, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can get more from Mike and me at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, email the podcast at gamespluspodcast@venturebeat.com. Thank you to Carlos Ayn, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube, for the use of our theme song. If you are listening to this on the website player widget, you could subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever pods are caught. If you like the show, rate us on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show. If you are watching live on YouTube, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. That apparently helps the algorithm a lot when we're going live. So if people are just sitting around on YouTube, I guess, and they're like looking for something to watch, well, apparently this helps elevate it. So a thumbs up on YouTube will really help. And then the Discord. Come and join our Discord. The link should be in the description live on YouTube. It should also be in the description on the podcast. If you are listening to this on you know, whatever app you're listening to, just swipe on the cover art. You should be able to find it there. Join the Discord. It's free. But if you want to support the show and the Discord, you could go click on the link, patreon.com/Jeff Grubb, which also should be in the description. And that will get you into some secret channels inside the Discord. Helps support How Games Make Money as well, which is my other podcast, which I've got a bunch of episodes coming up real soon. So, all right. That does it for the credits. You want to just hop into the news, Mike?
Let's hop in. Because I'm like the What We've Been Playing segment is not like the big one here, but I've been playing up some big games, so I'm excited to get there. But yes, there's plenty of other things to talk about first.
Yes. So, let's see. Let's start with the Nintendo Switch Pro rumors, which seems like an annual or not a weekly thing at this point, where there's always something new, more coming up all the time. Although this is a Bloomberg report, and that's the reason we're talking about this. But a lot of the Bloomberg report is just repeating stuff that has been heard elsewhere. Like Game Reactor was first to say, like, oh, they're going to use a new system on a chip. And now Bloomberg is saying there's a new system on a chip with DLSS. Nate the Hate, a podcast I've been on a bunch, Nate, he said that, you know, they're going to be using DLSS for months now.
Right.
And now they're echoing that.
We all know what DLSS means. So I certainly do. But you should probably tell some of the listeners just in case.
Sure, absolutely. So let's go over what all this stuff means. DLSS is deep learning super sampling. It's NVIDIA's magical tech that takes an image that's like rendering at 1080p and makes it look like it's 4K. This is just not old style upscaling. It uses information that is not even present in the image to recreate that image, and sometimes makes a 1080p image look better than 4K when it's doing this upscaling. So it's really impressive. It works like magic. And it makes games run really well, even on underpowered hardware. NVIDIA really uses this on PCs for ray tracing, because ray tracing is so expensive in terms of computational cost that you need DLSS to run it even at like 60 frames per second. In some games, you need it to run at 30 frames per second. So it's like a really necessary tech for that stuff. But even when you're not doing ray tracing, it can help a game like Death Stranding on PC run at 144 frames per second at 4K with no issue. And so
obviously something that can help a Switch quite a bit.
Something that could help a Switch a whole bunch, especially if you have it in docked mode, which is probably where DLSS will work, and it probably won't work in handheld mode. The good news here is, if you are someone that primarily plays handheld, you're still going to get a benefit. If they are using, if they're making a new system on a chip, which is basically just the chips inside the thing that makes the whole thing work, that is just going to have inherent extra power just as a byproduct of any new processes they use. So the Switch right now has a Tegra X1. That's the NVIDIA process, the NVIDIA system on a chip. And that's running on, I think it's the 14 nanometer or 16 nanometer process. They did a revision pretty recently, not recently, but like 2 years ago, a year ago, whenever they introduced the Switch Lite, and that got them more battery power, and they that because of increased efficiency. Well, if they do that again, even if they use the X1, which they won't use this Tegra X1 again, because they're adding the chips to do DLSS. They're probably going to use a whole new architecture. That's going to get you even more efficiency, even more power. But even if they were to just use the X1, just shrinking that down to a smaller process is going to increase efficiency, and now they'll have extra power that they can throw at games, and also probably get longer battery life. Throw the new architecture on top of that. It's going to be even more efficient, and it's probably going to be a significant upgrade, even when you're not like using DLSS.
Man, you know, Jeff, normally when you start spouting about chips and stuff, I just get kind of like annoyed or sad. Well, after this shot, like that was kind of trippy. you ever see Donald Duck in Math Magic Land? It was kind of like that.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've always said that about you. That's what you remind me of is especially when you're high on your Moderna. Shot on your Moderna.
It is kind of like
we're gonna come back high. Next week. We're gonna come back next week, and he's gonna be jonesing for his Moderna.
I need more of it.
Yeah, please.
Oh, well, give me your shot, fifth please. Dose. Gotta get that efficiency. Oh yeah, we're 200% safe now.
Oh man. Okay. So hey,
Low Roulette with $3. Who has the best E3 this year out of the big three? I mean, are any of them having a conventional E3? You assume Microsoft has a lot to talk about because they kind of have Bethesda now, whereas Nintendo, it still feels like they're going slow for a while. Like they've kind of been slow for like a year now, and I don't think they're going to obviously have a couple things to show. Microsoft would seem to be my safe pick here.
I'm going with Nintendo. I'm saying it's Nintendo. I'm saying that they're going to rip off the Band-Aid and pull a bunch of game hairs off with it. Yeah, the game hairs off with it.
Can I rip this off right now?
Oh, my God. Make someone donate for that. Someone donate like $10, and then $10. I can give you a heart, rip it off or something like that.
Hard rip.
Yeah. Ooh. Otherwise, it's happening off air.
$10, and I'll give you a heart. Here's the heart for Nick.
Okay, where was
I? We're kind of discounting Sony. I mean, Sony is, I think we know, I don't know what exactly the big surprises are going to be. They have some big exclusives coming up, I don't know. Anyways, I feel like you weren't done spouting numbers and chip figures.
No, I can, because let's just talk about it in like I think we might be buffering on YouTube, and I'm sorry about that, but it looks like it should be okay now. Okay, so, I'm done with the numbers. I'll just say that I think actually speaking to Low Rule Legends' question, I think Nintendo might be announcing this at E3, if not a couple months later, but probably in that time frame. And then they'll talk about Breath of the Wild 2 at the exact same time and launch that game alongside this. So I think it could be a really strong show for them if they have a bunch of games to go alongside this new hardware. And I guess that speaks to another point where Bloomberg and their story and other people have said there might be games that might just run on this hardware. And that'll probably come from, I'm going to record this because we are losing a lot of frames. My internet's being bad. Sorry about that, people. So I think that if we get exclusive games for the Switch Pro, it'll mostly come from third-party studios. But I wonder, like, Mike, do you think there's a possibility that we'll get to a situation where Nintendo changes its strategy and goes more towards iterations and less towards a Switch 2 just because the upgrade model it makes more sense for them?
Yeah. So you brought up the point on Twitter that Nintendo has basically been doing iterations. I think we may have just lost YouTube now, by the way.
I'm recording. We'll just have to go, and I don't know what else to do about it. OBS is just being wacky. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I still feel like at some point there needs to be at least a big upgrade. And I don't know if you call that a Switch 2 or what, or maybe there's a point where they want to do something else, right? Like, to me right now, it seems like the Switch is the form for them to carry them for like 20 years or so. But it's Nintendo. Who knows what they're going to think? They might think that they need to do something completely different. They might want to make another Wii again, right? Or something silly. So it's so hard to predict Nintendo. You can certainly make a case for why they should just do iPhone like iterations now.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you got the super chats in there. You ready to do it?
Well, first off, $2 from Nick Turbo just started playing Hades. Jeff was right. It's good. I also said Hades is good. And Nick Turbo also sent $10. Rip it good for me, Mike. Yeah, right, here we go.
I don't know if I could watch. Okay, this is mature content here, people. This could get gory.
This is going to get us flagged.
You're just going to rip it, right?
Yeah. I got a good view here. All right.
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, it's already got a lot of hair on there. All right. Well, I'm gonna
turn you down to my ears.
Yeah, one.
I'm afraid you're gonna blood curdling scream.
Two, three.
Ooh.
Oh. Look at all that. Look at all that hair. You see that? Do you see that hair? Yeah.
Woo! All right.
That was on my body. That's a lot. Is there a bald patch now? I can't tell. It looks okay.
No, you're fine.
Where that came from? Don't worry.
Okay. Wow, that was intense. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Nick, for that. That's real good stuff. I'm giving all $10 of that right to Mikey. Thank you. Yeah. No problem.
I'll go buy myself a Sony Pop.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. I don't know. The Nintendo news is, I mean, there's a lot of smoke here. I think we can assume there's a fire. I guess the last thing is that the release timing, a bunch of stories have said fall of this year. I think that train is probably just moving too fast. It has too much momentum for Nintendo to like try to delay it. Now they're probably on track to deliver this fall.
It's going to be awkward when there is. That's another reason why Nintendo is going to have a good E3, because they are just going to announce this then. Right. Like that's when this is.
I think so.
So,
yeah. I think the only thing is that they haven't always announced the hardware at E3, right? Like they announced the Switch in December and then did a showcase in January or whatever, and then released it in March. And I think a lot of times they announce their hardware about 2 months before releasing it. So if it is coming in the fall, maybe that timing doesn't make sense. The one reason I think that they might talk about it at E3 is because of Zelda. If Breath of the Wild 2 is launching alongside it, maybe they'll want to pair those together at their E3 showcase.
Makes sense.
Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe they want to make sure people who have a Switch, like OG, realize they could buy Breath of the Wild 2, so they talk about that game at E3, and then 2 months later, they talk about the Switch Pro and say, and you'll get benefits when you play Breath of the Wild 2.
Are they going to release Breath of the Wild 2 for the Wii U?
I hope so, Mike. That's where I play all my Zelda games now. Yeah.
God. It's worth it. There's a lot of them on there.
Yeah, you're right. More than the Switch, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, let's get on. Let's talk about Microsoft buying Discord.
Maybe.
Yes. So let's.
Somebody wants to buy Discord. Discord is for sale.
Right. Discord is at least at that point of its life where it's either for sale or it's going to go. Excuse me. It's going to go public. If you are a big company with a lot of money, it's like, well, we got to buy them now before they go public and they're worth even more. So it seems like, okay, so Dean Takahashi, a reporter for VentureBeats, GamesBeat.com, reported that Discord is in discussion with people to maybe buy it for up to $10 billion. Since then, Bloomberg, I think, and the Wall Street Journal have done follow-up stories basically confirming that. And in their stories, they say it's Microsoft. Now, and the Wall Street Journal story says that it's exclusive talks with Microsoft. Now, I think we heard other names like maybe like Twitter, maybe Epic. But if Epic and Twitter are going up against Microsoft and Microsoft wants it, Microsoft's going to be able to pay more.
Right.
And how many times in like the past couple of weeks have I talked about like Microsoft really wanting to get money off of its books? and wanting to spend money because it's worried about inflation and all these things, like, you know, all these reasons why having money is bad right now. Microsoft wants to spend it. Discord would be probably a good fit. But I guess, I mean, let me ask you first. Like, when you think of Microsoft acquiring Discord, what do you think?
I think about Skype, I guess.
Yeah,
but same. And a lot of people say that, but it's not a totally fair comparison. Skype was already kind of cold by the time Microsoft got it, right? Like that was sort of a weird thing. So I guess just concerned about what exactly their plans are for it, because Discord is pretty good right now, right? Like, I don't really want anything to change about Discord. So I certainly don't want it to become one of those situations where some big tech company buys the up-and-coming software thing and then ruins it, and then it closes in a couple of years. And I'm also, like, wondering what exactly is the integration like for the consoles? Does it even need that? Because it has not Xbox Live anymore, Xbox Network. So, yeah, I guess a lot of question marks, right? If I was a cartoon character, just be like, bruh, bruh, bruh. It makes more sense than Sony buying a fighting game tournament.
Yeah,
I guess, but I do have questions.
Yeah, and just to, like, be fair, like, Microsoft bought that, like, GG.com or whatever, that esports thing, and I felt the same way at that time, where it's like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Discord, though, I think they could find a lot of implementations. There's a lot of, like, someone was like, oh, it's not about games and Xbox, it's about Teams, Microsoft Teams, and I don't necessarily think is the case, because they've already invested so much in making Microsoft Teams work for enterprise. Discord, while awesome for communities, actually doesn't make a lot of sense for enterprise. It's a little bit more freewheeling than, like, Slack or Microsoft Teams. But, I mean, whatever. There's probably a lot of technology in Discord that could benefit Teams. I hate using Teams. I really like using Discord. So that's a big difference right there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they realize Discord is good. It's already a leader in its category. They don't need to do too much on it. They can integrate it with some other things. That's fine. And that's really all they need to do.
Yeah,
I hope they don't overthink it. But again, if this happens, because...
Right.
I'm not quite so sure this is a super done thing as some people think it is.
I agree. So, yeah. So, let's a couple things there. I think that there's just as good a chance of them going public as they, you know, get acquired by Microsoft. But I do think, you know, the more I think about it, it does make a lot of sense for Xbox and Xbox Game Pass and all this. I think that if when Discord tried to do its store and its thing, and it tried to, like, make a subscription service. Right. It made a subscription service. To me, yeah, Nitro still exists, but now it's, like, about, like, boosting your servers and, like, being able to use other emotes on other channels and stuff. I'm subscribed to it, but only because I got, like, the grandfathered price. So I'm like, I'm just going to keep it because it's only $5 a month.
Discord wants to make more money. Right. Like, everyone's using it, but...
And so, yeah, it has a lot of users, and it just, like, when it got into the game of trying to start a subscription, it was at the same time that Game Pass was really taking off. And so... Discord was never going to be able to compete with that. And so as a subscription, it just didn't make sense. It, like, can't even compete with, like, EA Play and Ubisoft Plus or whatever. So I think that if Microsoft makes Discord, like, very integrated with Game Pass, where it's still mostly Discord, but if you have a Game Pass subscription, you automatically get Nitro. And then you also could just find your games, your Game Pass games in Discord and launch them with your friends. I think that could really work and really make Game Pass even more of a value. I think it just adds more value to that subscription. So I think it could work. But I agree with you that I don't necessarily know if this deal is going to go through. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple weeks it did. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Just don't think it's a super absolute done deal.
All right. So next story, the PS3, Vita, and PSP stores are going to be closed by Sony, according to a report from The Gamer. And Sony has not come out to deny this, but I don't think they've confirmed
it. I know I reached out to them, and it's somebody who usually gets back to me on these kind of things, and they didn't say anything. So, which kind of leads me to think, okay, so this is happening. They don't want to talk about it, but maybe that's just me speculating. I don't know.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm frustrated. I'm seeing, like, people reporting the story saying Xbox indie developers have earned over $2 billion in the last 7 years. I reported on that last year, guys. Come on. Just follow me. Follow me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone else is a loser but you.
I think so. This is what I'm trying to say. Okay. I think people are trying to make this Sony store closure things about digital versus physical, and I get that, but does this mean you won't be able to get your downloads anymore? Is that what that story says?
No one knows. It's a possibility. I'm not sure about that. What will absolutely happen is you can't buy games anymore. It is, especially for the Vita, it is a bummer because that was... I loved my Vita very specifically for that store because it was fantastic for downloading PlayStation 1 RPGs and PSP RPGs. There were just a ton of RPGs there, and that ruled, and it was great. And I wish that that same selection was just on PlayStation 5 or something. It was probably one of the best like back catalogs of like downloadable games I had seen in terms of just the PlayStation 1 content on there. Like almost every PlayStation 1 game you could think about that you would want was available on there. It was pretty awesome. Now, there's another part of me that's like, you know, if that was so great, maybe if everyone else thought that was as great as I did, maybe more people would have bought a Vita, right? Mm-hmm. And then they would have a reason to support the store longer. I mean, it's this shitty thing that we all know that these stores are not going to be around forever, especially when each console kind of has its own store, which is how it was working with Vita, how it works with Nintendo stuff. Microsoft is a bit different with that, but yeah, I don't know. What do you think about this?
I think it's like, okay, I guess I was surprised that some of the stores were still open. Like anything involving the PSP was pretty shocking, I guess.
PSP, if you had told me that store was closed, I would have believed you.
Yeah. But I think that when Sony comes out and actually does do messaging around this, I think they should also pair it with a just flat out saying we won't do this to the PS4 store. Going forward, we plan to keep all of our digital stores on the PS4 forward open for as long as we're in business, because
you have to make them the same store, right?
Right. Exactly. You just make it the PlayStation store, and then anything you buy, whether it, you know, if it runs on a PS4 or happens to run on PS4, then yeah, you could just, of course, you continue to buy it there. And it should just be the same store going forward for forever. Absolutely. It really should just kind of be that way because these are the same platforms now. And PS4 is x86, so it's PS5, and you imagine they're probably going to stick with that for quite some time. And so, yeah, I think that would help a little bit. But it does stink. But I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, it becomes more difficult to like go and find physical games for these systems as well as time goes on. Like, you want to go into a store and find a PSP game, you're probably going to be out of luck too. Like, it's not like physical is like the perfect answer to the problem that is being created here.
Right.
But if you like go online, of course, you could still find a lot of these games pretty cheap and you know, physical, not new. A lot of times they're going to be used, but it's still like they should work. It should be just fine.
Yeah, I guess we're still waiting for one of these companies to create some kind of really comprehensive digital platform for its games that could be transgenerational. Right.
Yes.
So like at some point, Sony's going to be like, hey, look, here's pretty much all of our PlayStation 1 games, like all the PlayStation 1 games that matter, and you can download them to the PlayStation 5, and you're going to be able to download them to the PlayStation 6 or the Vita 2 or whatever they're going to make. And I think that's going to happen someday, not nearly as soon as I would like. And, you know, because you're talking about just like, you know, Vita games, and to me, I keep thinking more about like the older stuff. There's at least a solution there with the older stuff that I think a lot of people can't take and should take at this point, because I mean, if they, you know, we want to give them the money, and sometimes it's just too hard to.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm not too surprised by this move overall. I mean, Jim Ryan is famous for saying that thing about like, you know, who would want to play these old games?
Yeah, yeah. And that is deflating when you see that, and that's one of the reasons why it's probably going to be later rather than sooner, because if the guy in charge is somebody who just doesn't care about that stuff or doesn't see the value in it, right? And like, you almost get it, right? If he's not some big, you know, this like super gamer from way back when, if I showed my dad Gran Turismo 1 and or Gran Turismo 6, right? Of course he's going to say, well, Gran Turismo 6 is objectively better. They don't necessarily understand the context or all these other things. Like, for me, like, right, you know, my favorite racing game of all time right now is Ridge Racer Type 4 on PlayStation 1. And there's nothing, like, ironic about that or anything. That is what feels right to me. I would rather pay $60 for that than pay $60 for whatever the next Gran Turismo is going to be or anything like that.
Yep, agreed. And, I mean, I think that Sony will probably get around to, like, being more precious about its legacy stuff eventually. It's just, it's clear that it's not a priority at the moment.
It didn't help that the PlayStation Classic was kind of a bomb, and it was kind of their own fault, but I think when they look at the sales numbers, they're not going to say, well, we didn't make as good a product as we should have.
Self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like, they don't care about it, so when they try to copy Nintendo and they don't really put the effort into it, they end up with something that people don't want. It was always going to end up that way, unless you got to actually just make that stuff good. And the biggest thing everyone heard from that is just it was a bad emulation of PlayStation games. And, like, didn't they use, like, some... PAL versions?
They use some PAL versions for some things, just which was wild. Weird because the frame rate is off worse. When you do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's something like there are plenty of things about the thing that's good. Like, it looks nice. The UI is nice. The game selection is pretty okay. And it is easy to mod. It's not too bad. It's not as easy to mod as an SNES classic
or
Genesis classic game, but you can mod it. So I think that's enough on that.
Xbox Live Gold is no longer required for party chat, looking for game, and for certain free-to-play games in the Insider program. Basically, they're testing all those promises that they were going to make. So this is just good news, right? It's coming.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, some people are mad at you because you said Xbox Live Gold was going to go away, but they are clearly kind of very slowly phasing it out, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Especially after they tried to raise the price and then there was that backlash. Even raising the price was probably kind of them phasing it out, right?
It was just like, let's force all these people on the Game Pass, and then down the road, it was the timeline that I got wrong, I think, a little bit. I think they're still working toward that. I think we see that as they strip the Xbox Live name from more and more places within the Xbox UI, and now go with Xbox Network.
That thing is a little weird to me. I feel like there's just so much equity with the Xbox Live brand. I'm surprised they just want to throw that away, especially for just Xbox, just for something that means like the same thing, but it's just more bland and newer.
Yeah, but I mean, no, you know what it is that equity that is related to Xbox Live is also very much tied into Xbox Live Gold and paying for it and thinking about paying for it. So as you get a new Xbox and you see the word Sports Xbox Live, you might, if you're not fully tapped in, you might just associate those things with things you have to pay for, and so you might not use them.
Okay, interesting.
Right. What you mean. So like, make it something bland. It's Xbox Network, and it just comes with your Xbox. It's Xbox lowercase n network. It's just there. It's part of it. Don't even think about it.
Hey, $5 from Jedi Moss 4. A big problem with physical games is most games today get significant patches even before they release. Physical is already obsolete. Yeah, it's a confusing issue. I'm God, Ballin Wonderworld has a day one patch because, of course, it also has some kind of epilepsy issue. In this case, with its final boss, was had to get a day one patch for that. So, like, there's going to be some people out there, like, you play that original version, you get to have an extra seizure for your trouble.
Yeah. And it's usually, if you're buying physical in this day and age, and if the servers go offline for some reason, you're just going to have the worst version of that game. So yeah, it's not not ideal either. We're in a bad place for that stuff. So I hope there's a good answer going forward. I saw someone, I think they're probably joking, and yeah, blockchain the motherfucker up there. And it's like, yeah, but like, hey, that doesn't do anything. If the servers go offline where you actually download the actual game, it's still not going to help you. Okay, let's move on. The ID at Xbox event is happening right now and seems like it's going to keep happening for quite some time.
It's like a 3-hour event?
4 hours, how long Twitch had it marked for. Okay, so let's talk about it.
It's as long as the Snyder Cut.
We always say, like, part of our job somehow has become, like, analyzing and reviewing events. And let's actually do that. That's a bad format. And I think this is all, like, Twitch... Twitch is in charge of this. This is like Twitch doing this. And
right. So it's like, not on anywhere else.
Right. Yes. And it's like Twitch did this for Xbox. And I think it's like them testing out like how they could do this for like their summer game mess. And it's bad. I think there's a couple issues. First, it's way too long. So the like even when they have 80 games in there, I don't think they're going to talk about all 80 games, but they're going to talk about a lot of them. But even when they do have a lot of games, they're still filling up a lot of time with interviews where I think they're talking about like Rust Console Edition. And I think that they're talking about like how they came up with the name Rust Console Edition. Seems like a bad use of time. We know this. So when we watch our analytics on the show, on this show that we do, there's 133 people watching right now. Once we start talking about the games that we've been playing, it's usually, it almost always starts to drop off. There's people who are here for news and our takes on new stuff that is happening, because that's what they're most interested in. And our thoughts about games and our conversations about games is just inherently less interesting to a wider audience.
Why it's at the end.
It's why it's at the end. If we were to put that stuff in between all the other stuff that more people care about, we would just lose that audience. I think we saw that this is happening with that Xbox event. Also, the other issue is just that they have, you know, no offense to the host, but it's a couple of Twitch streamers, and because they're like Twitch streamers, the vibe they have when they're talking about the stuff is like infomercial. It sounds like they're like hyping up products that they're trying to sell everybody, and they're just always saying like, oh, how interesting whenever someone says anything. And it's just a bad vibe. It doesn't feel authentic. And to do that for 4 hours is excruciating.
Yeah, it's like, especially, I mean, like, you think about what Nintendo would do for Indie World, right? They would have like a 30-minute, like, just real fast sizzle reels and real exciting, and everyone watches it. And it's bizarre to me when people already do something really well and then people just discard that format.
I mean, if you're Twitch and you're trying to make this work, though, right? You're trying to make it a Twitch thing. You're trying to make it like play the Twitch's strengths. But I don't.
Did you just do a monkey move?
I itched my armpit. So yes, I'm a giant ape man. Yeah, But Twitch's strengths are not necessarily what we want from an event like this. But whatever. I got a list of a bunch of games that are at this thing. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to pick out a couple that really have stuck out to me. We, of course, know about 12 Minutes. They're going to talk about that today. That's that one with, I'm going to itch my pit again.
Jesus.
That's the one with Willem Dafoe and a couple other actors, I think, where it's like, you replay a 12-minute segment over and over.
Right.
Trying to stop the guy from killing your wife or something. But that looks cool. But the one that's really, I'm really into is this Moon Glow Bay. Which is a fishing RPG set in the 80s in Eastern Canada. And it just looks really chill and fun. And it makes me just want all kinds of very specific RPGs. Like I loved, what was the golf RPG that came out? Golf Story. And they're going to come out with Sports Story. And I want this.
Somebody just asked in chat, give me good news about Sports Story. I guess it's been a while since we've heard about it. I'm sure it's
fine. I don't know anything. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to come. That first game made a lot of money, so
Is it coming before or after Elden Ring? Why did I even say that name? Because Elden Ring's canceled, so it has to come out.
That's right,
before.
Yeah, Elden Ring's not even real. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Then let's see if there's anything else worth calling out. I think Sable is continuing to look fantastic.
You're just sad that Tunic didn't show up.
Tunic. You're right. I'm sad about that for sure. And the gunk. It doesn't look like the gunk is there.
I'm upset they didn't surprise announce Hollow Knight Silksong for Xbox Series X and reveal that it's out today.
I mean, honestly, I'm a little like there's a lot of cool stuff coming to Game Pass like right away, and a lot of it's stuff that like first showed up at like a Sony event, like that Recompile where you play like a bunch of digital red code in a Metroidvania game. That game looked cool. Now it's coming to Game Pass when it launches. Stalker 2 we knew about, and that's exclusive to PC and then next gen Xbox, so that looks cool. But yeah, I mean, there's cool stuff here. I'm excited about a lot of the games. I'm glad we're doing the podcast instead of watching it,
though. Yeah, hey, we got $5 from Sima C. Is recommending a Series S a good idea to gamer light friends? Will age quickly and not run future games? Well, I think you're more on the side of
yes.
It's fine. I'm a little bit more skeptical about getting a Series S. I mean, the biggest difference is just 4K, right? So if you have a 4K TV, maybe it doesn't matter.
I think even if you have a 4K TV and you're someone who is gamer light and you're like not looking to, you're looking not to like save money on the hardware and maybe, you know, put that money towards Game Pass so you could get a bunch of games, it's totally viable. I think it's great. I play on the Series S a lot down here in the basement with my kids, and like, you know, they're doing that FPS boost thing, and the FPS boost works just as well on Series S as it does on Series X for a lot of those games, because again, they're running at 1080p. It's basically the same experience, just 1080 instead of 4K. Uh-oh, I got a mad baby.
Oh, she's like, you can't get a Series S. If you're not playing in 4K, you're a loser.
Yeah.
You're a loser like my dad. I'm shocked you're not wearing the Game Boy Color sweater, by the way.
No, the Ryan Johnson sweater today. All right. Hopefully, could you hear her crying? I can't tell.
Yeah, smidge.
Okay, she'll be fine. Okay. Yeah, she'll be fine. Okay.
Let me make sure. Get over it.
Yeah, she will. Okay. She's probably just tired. I'll put her down for a nap when we're done.
I'm tired.
Yeah, we'll put Mikey and Addie down for a nap.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me go back to the rundown. I think that does it for the news. Is there anything else we missed? Because I threw this together last minute because we're doing the show early.
Yeah, seems right. Let's get some questions. Those are always fun.
Questions. All right, let's go to the questions. Let's see. So this one's from last week. Let me see here from Nick real quick. With it being the 25th anniversary of Persona, ooh, do you expect them to make big announcements? Persona 5 Royale ported to other systems, Persona 6. What do you think, Mike?
I mean, we've talked about why isn't more Persona games ported to other systems. I have no idea why Persona 4, Persona 5, Persona 3 Portable, or whatever version aren't on Switch. Everyone seems to think that there might be something happening with maybe Game Pass in that. I don't know. It seems so obvious that should have happened by now. I don't know when it's going to happen. You would think it would. Persona 6 is interesting because it might be getting time to do that. The only thing that makes me pause there is that they wrote out Persona 4 for a while. When Persona 4 was a hit, they capitalized on that with a lot of spinoffs for a good bit of time before really moving on to Persona 5. And even when they announced Persona 5, it took a while for that to come out. So I feel like they're going to ride the Persona 5 train maybe a little bit more, maybe get Arc System Works to make another fighting game, maybe do something else, maybe even do a Strikers 2. I don't know. But it might still be time to announce it. It's definitely going to be happening, right? It's got to be announced within the next 2 years, hopefully on the sooner side. I'll be very excited when it is.
From Carl Minger, with demand overwhelming supply, and considering they are selling them for losses anyway, why don't Sony and Nintendo themselves do the buy deluxe system for more money at launch with pack-ins, like games and accessories, like the retailers do? Then once supply starts catching up with demand, they could sell the bare system. Mike, what do you think?
Gosh, I don't know. What do you think on the? I'm throwing this one back at you.
Fair enough. So I think that they don't want to seem like they are trying to take advantage of anyone. That's very important. This is not going to last forever. They need to keep goodwill. They need to just be like, you know, that's why, you know, someone comes up with the idea like, oh, just sell them for an auction. I can't remember who it was. Some like,
yeah,
just sell all these. Just do an auction for all this stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you could try to sell it to the highest bidder and take all that money for yourself if you're Sony. They absolutely could do that. And then all anyone would talk about is how greedy Sony is, mm-hmm, and how they don't care about the gamer and how they, oh, I thought you were for the gamers. Isn't that your motto? Right. And it's like, it's counterproductive. And in a few years, people will still remember that even when they're paying the retail price for these systems. It is, the good sentiment and goodwill of fans is worth a lot of money. Microsoft found that out the hard way, and you don't want to lose it.
Right. I mean, is there really? There's certainly a problem for people who can't get a PlayStation 5 right now. Is that really a problem for Sony? Is that something that they feel like they need to fix? I don't know.
The other side of it, right? Like that. Like they also want to make sure that like as many people can get these systems as possible. And sure, they might be selling it for a loss, but really, they're going to make the money on the software anyhow. So just let these systems get out to people. They don't need to like try to get creative and try to make more money selling the systems. Just let them get out there and then people will buy the software. That's not been a problem.
Hey, $10 from Christopher Minotti, my brother, who just posted a funny GIF of a controller putting sunglasses on. Oh, another $10 from him. What's going on with the Microsoft buying Discord rumors and why is my trash? You're late, Chris. We already talked about that. You wasted your $10.
No refund for you.
Your question. Hey, how are you feeling?
No refund for family.
He got his vaccine today too. I wonder how he's feeling because I'm a little woozy and sleepy, but feeling good otherwise.
The Minottis are all Moderna'd up. Yeah. Everybody, look out,
Chris. The rumors are false. I'm buying Discord. It be mine.
All right, this one's. I think this one's also from Nick, and he says, of course, oh, frequent leaker. Will we see more Sony published games like Horizon Zero Dawn and The Last of Us Part 2 get PS5 updates soon? I think so. I think that they're probably, I think a lot of that stuff is probably just clogged up because of QA and QA being very difficult during the pandemic. Trying to get like systems out for people to play these games on like secure servers from their home would be very difficult. So I imagine that QA has been actually one of the biggest problems for games. And it's like, I think it's one of the reasons like Nintendo finishes games and holds on to them for a really long time, because they could probably only QA like one or two big games at a time. Sure. And so I think that the QA resources that Sony has is going towards other stuff that's more important. And then they'll get to this stuff when they can.
Yeah, we know there's a lot of people who want, you know, like Bloodborne is one you hear constantly, right? I think Digital Foundry even like did a lot of like weird kind, not hacking, but they did some back and stuff to like show what Bloodborne would look like running at 60 frames per second with a kind of AI boosted 4K, and it looks great. And I think everyone's salivating at that. So it seems like it's money on the table. Sony should take it.
From Sir Drew, now that we know that what Balan Wonderworld is, do you think that the money, time, creative effort that went into making it would have been better spent on a known quantity like Billy Hatcher or Knights?
Well, don't forget, it wasn't Sega, so they couldn't have done that. This was Square Enix. Now, sure. I mean, I don't know. There was a time where I thought making a sequel to Knights would have been the greatest moment of my life, and then they did do it with that Knights sequel on Wii, and it like wasn't very good. And then Billy Hatcher, I mean, Billy Hatcher's fine. I know some people like it more than I do, but would that really have garnered that much excitement? No, there's nothing wrong with doing something new. It's just, you know, you have to then do a good job.
Sorry, I'm just messing with something real quick. All right, this next question comes from Mike Minotti, and he asks, Balan Wonderworld? And here's my answer. There it is. I'm going to install it as soon as we're done here.
Live install. Wait. Your internet's already awful.
Yeah. No. As soon as we're done, I'm going to click this button. Not while we're streaming. All right. So I'm not going to mess that up. All right.
So,
oh, God.
So there have been no reviews posted today, right? So I was correct. They didn't send code to anybody.
Yeah. No. As far as I could tell, no one got it. Someone must have had like the physical version or something because of the last boss.
The last boss leaked, which. Maybe, you know, remember back in the day, Walmart would always sell games like early by accident. Maybe it's one of those things. I don't know.
Again, just to let everyone know, these questions are coming from the Discord server, and it comes from Patreon subscribers. If you want to ask a question live during the show, you can always use the super chat function and we'll answer that live for you. All right, let me strike out this question.
I'll get more band-aids. I can put more band-aids on and rip them off again. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you guys missed that. If you're just tuning in, Micah ripped off his band-aid earlier because someone died. Super chatted $10 live.
Band-aid.
Probably the highlight of the show ever. Probably the biggest moment we've ever had.
We should. That should be the new cover picture, is me shoving that hair-covered band-aid into my webcam.
Absolutely will be, yes. All right, we got a few more questions. How are you feeling, Mike? Is it okay if we got like maybe
I'm loopy.
Seven questions.
I feel weird, but I'm riding it. All about it.
All right, we got a couple questions from Benji Bop. Let's see. Assuming the Microsoft Discord acquisition is real and goes through, what do you guys think the end product will be? Will we see a full makeover of Xbox Party Chat with features like screen share, video calls, and seamless integration with the PC version? Or do they go a step further and tend to do a redo all of its chat-based applications, Teams, Skype, with Discord?
I almost see more like just Xbox Live implementation to Discord. Like, you can set it so your Discord channels will show, like, something when you get an achievement, or, you know, if you create a party, maybe it'll show that. Things like that are kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah. Let's see. Another one from Benji Bop. What do you guys think are some of the gaming industry's most evergreen Suez Canal moments, but you can't pick COVID? That's too easy of an answer. I'm sure most people know, but there's a boat turned sideways in the Suez Canal that is blocking up 13% of the world's trade. And they still haven't been able to get it unstuck, and they're trying with like one bulldozer or something, or one front loader. Mike, I don't know. What's a good answer to this?
Like, what I'm trying, so like something that like stifled the whole industry or grounded to a halt, maybe everybody rushing to do motion controls is something that kind of comes to mind. The PlayStation Move and the Kinect was a hit. Like, Kinect made Microsoft money. It may have ended up losing them money again, because then they invested too much into it when it probably wasn't worth that. So like, that wasn't that much of a, like, this chip thing right now is kind of that, but it's not as sexy or funny. So, I mean, what would you say? What is the Suez Canal moment?
I think, you know, early on, it was definitely like the lack of security. So many games coming out onto the Atari that they had, that, right. The whole industry collapsed. Yeah, the landfill stuff. I think the motion one is a pretty good one. But I think just like maybe mobile kind of distracting developers and making them think consoles were going to die. And so everyone was like trying to go to make mobile games, and then the mobile game price collapsed. So now we have to make free to play games. And I think when we think back to that time and we think about how people spoke about Japanese development, like, oh, they lost their way, like them slowly figuring out how to come back and do HD game development after maybe trying to shift to mobile a bit too hard. I think that was a pretty good example of like when the industry got clogged up.
You think we're done with like EA feels like they need to show the new like Minions mobile game at their E3 press conference? Yes. Like, are we past that?
I think we're past that. Yes.
So weird.
Yes, definitely. From Jake Bogdanoff. He says how to pronounce it. Bogdanoff. Never mind. I said it right. All right. From Jake Bogdanoff. I need to know the Jeff and Mike take on the Mario naming debate. Is if Mario is Mario Mario and Luigi is Luigi Mario, is Wario's name Wario Wario or Wario Mario? Is he like an evil twin, right?
No, it's definitely not Wario Mario. I don't think there's any blood relation. I think he just happens to be some weirdo creep who looks like Mario and has a similar name. I don't think there's any blood relationship. I don't even think Wario's related to Waluigi. Like, I think they are canonically not actually brothers, mm-hmm. right? So I think that their names are Wario Wario and Waluigi Waluigi.
You've convinced me there. I think at most they're like Mario and Wario are like cousins, but in the way that like, you know, everyone's cousins if you go far enough back. But the Mushroom Kingdom is small enough that it's like, okay, no, they're like cousins.
If you're both humans in the Mushroom Kingdom and not a mushroom person, you're probably related in some way, which now creeps me out about Princess Peach and Mario.
Yeah, for real. Although that sort of inbreeding might explain Wario and Waluigi a little bit, but I don't think they should ever like even yeah Wario and Waluigi shouldn't be brothers. You're right; they should just kind of. I don't think they've ever said that.
Weirdos.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the Wario brothers. Just a couple of weirdos is much more interesting. But yeah, Wario Wario and Waluigi Waluigi is pretty good. That's definitely what I lean towards as well. Oh man, I haven't watched the Mario Brothers movie in quite some time, and every time that argument comes up, I want to watch it more.
I don't think that movie's that bad.
It's not. Really it's just don't. Not. It's not a Mario movie exactly, but it's like kind of really cool. Yeah,
it is. It's got some fun. It's got some like good set design stuff. Like in terms of doing that whole kind of grungy, not quite cyber, but almost kind of cyberpunk though. Almost. Really, it kind of
yeah.
Is cyberpunk. Now again, a weird Lizard direction punk. To go with, but yeah, Bob Hoskins is always good.
So. Yes. John Leguizamo was like funny and stuff. But yeah, and
you know what? The final confrontation with the bomb being the solution, and that's pretty clever end there. I liked that.
It's very good. Yes, I like that a whole bunch.
Super scopes are involved. And I mean, you could be like, oh, why is Yoshi just a dinosaur who's there for no reason? And you know, why do the Goombas look weird? It's all true, but I don't dislike watching it. I really don't.
It's got a weird energy to it, and I really respect that.
I bet it's much better than that Monster Hunter movie.
Yes, without a doubt. All right, here's one from Low Rule. Do you expect to see Metroid or Donkey Kong this year? What do you think?
Expect is rough. Donkey Kong we haven't really been hearing much about, right? And Retro Studios is busy doing other things. I know there's still some project of theirs that we don't know about, right? So maybe it's just another Donkey Kong Country 2D thing. But I'm hoping that we see that 2D Metroid game that we... And I'm beginning to wonder if that thing's even real because we've been hearing about that for so long. But that would be the hope. Metroid Prime 4, no. Metroid Prime Trilogy, maybe, but I don't think that's really what you mean. You mean a new game. So if anything, it's going to be some kind of new 2D Metroid game that gets announced at E3 and comes out this holiday.
That Metroid 2D game, I agree with that. I think Special Ed over on the Xbox Era podcast when I was on, I think he said that there's a new Donkey Kong game that he heard is being made, but it's not Retro making it. So I'm like, well, then who's making it? And it wasn't, no one was certain. So it's like, okay, I guess maybe, but even if that's happening, I wouldn't expect that this year either. I think The most likely thing is maybe Metroid Prime Trilogy, but probably that Metroid 2D game from the team that did the last Metroid 2D game, the remake. So, yeah.
No one ever talks about it, but Nintendo kind of dropped the ball on Donkey Kong Country in that. Like, Donkey Kong Country, like, some people don't know, like, that was the best-selling game on the Super Nintendo. Like, that was a giant deal. And it
Miyamoto doesn't like it. And so, I think that's kind of what happened.
I think Donkey Kong 64 wasn't to everyone's taste, and then they kind of, like, the series kind of became a Kirby experimental thing on GameCube, right? Like, we had good games, like, with the Konga one, not necessarily the music one, the platformer, I can't remember, Jungle Beats or something. It was great. But it's just weird that at one point was like a top tier Nintendo franchise, and now it's down there with like below Kirby.
Yeah, you're right. I like those tropical. I like Tropical Freeze, and of course Donkey Kong Country Returns. Right. But you're right; like that series should have been bigger than what it is. From Steve, what dormant Sony franchise would you like to see revived, and why is it Sly Cooper? Man, I was gonna say Jumping Flash.
What do you say?
Why is it Sly Cooper?
Man, I need to give those games another chance. I never quite got into them. I don't know. In terms of the 3D platformers, you have Ratchet and Clank already, and then you maybe have Jak and Daxter, which would also be maybe prime for me. But again, like, I like those games. I don't know if I necessarily need to see more of them, especially when we have Astro now, and Astro is just so good. And I kind of just want more Astro games, really. But yeah, Jumping Flash is a big one. There's like Klonoa would be great to see. It's even been a while for Ridge Racer now, and even though it hasn't always been a PlayStation thing, I still associate that with PlayStation pretty heavily. But a new Jumping Flash would be so cool.
Jumping Flash is what I probably would have said, so maybe Colony Wars, just to say something different. Colony Wars. I would like to see them do like another, like, you know, sort of Star Fox open space flying Sam sort of thing. That'd be cool. My God, my kids are fighting, beating each other up. It builds character.
Toughen them up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. From Laser Ace 7, let's see. In regards to the rumor of Discord being purchased by Microsoft, we've got it here. Let me see if this is something we already said. Would there be any antitrust concerns that could block this, as they've already purchased Skype and created Teams? Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think there'd be antitrust issues there.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing. The problem is like, you really do have to have a control of the entire market for it to even like come up. And Slack is too big, and they would just say, "Hey, look, Slack exists." So, it wouldn't be. I mean, it has to stop like Facebook from buying Instagram and all these other things. I know that some regulators are now regretting that, but I don't think that it would actually come up.
Right.
All right. Last question on the chart here. From Raymond Mogos, top five retro games in no particular order.
Mega Man 5, Mega Man 4, Mega Man 3, Mega Man 2, and Mega Man 6. I mean, gosh, I'm only being half sarcastic there, but
I know.
Mega Man 3, no particular. First ones that come to my mind, one for each series. Mega Man 3, Castlevania, Super Metroid, Link to the Past, and Chrono Trigger came to my mind for some other reason. I mean, retro, yeah. I'd rather prefer to, like, ask me per console than just say retro.
Yeah, what is retro? I mean, I always, said 10 years, but even I was never really that serious about that. But yeah, I guess like Link's Awakening, Super Mario World. I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to just say all stuff on Nintendo platforms. So am I trying?
That's what happened to me. Even though I've been playing a ton of Genesis recently, and
right, yeah,
like, you know, Revenge of Shinobi, Streets of Rage 2, Sonic 2, so many, you know, there's lots of good things.
Yeah, I like Outrun, stuff like that. But I don't know if it's gonna be.
You like those super scalers? I'm not a giant.
I love those super scalers. Yeah,
I'm not absolutely a big fan of like the arcade ass arcade games. You know what I mean? Necessarily, right. I like to play them a bit, but
right. I mean, they're good for like, yeah, they're not something you're ever gonna sit down and play for a really long time. But like going through a full run of Outrun every once in a while is still something I really love to do. I like Donkey Kong Country 1 a lot. You know, Super Mario RPG. Yeah. Oh man. And then, I don't know. Let me think of an N64 game. Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah, Jet Force Gemini is not that good.
Yeah, I like it, but I know most people don't. Right.
Mario 64. If you had to pick a rare game for Nintendo 64, pick Blast Corps or just Banjo Kazooie.
Blast Corps is great. Excitebike 64. There's one.
There you go.
All right. Mike, I'm all out of questions, so I think we should probably get to what we've been playing.
Let me
just go real quick, because you got the big games. So let me get my stuff out of the way.
Fine, get your garbage out of the way.
Crash 4. He called it garbage, everybody, not me.
No. Crash 4 is amazing. And I finally, you said you wouldn't play it until you got it on Switch, like got you the Switch code.
You sent me a Switch code. And I've been playing it, and it's real solid. It reminds me a lot of Donkey Kong Country a lot. I mean, it really does. So.
Those games have always been kind of like that, because they're relatively simple platformers in terms of your move set, but it's just really good level design, so it's a lot of fun. And you have some things. This game looks really good. How is it? Is it just 30 frames per second on Switch? Then
I think so. I'm playing it handheld, and it's got to be 30 frames per second. Yeah. But it's a nice responsive 30 frames per second. So I've had no issues there. I guess, is it on PC now? I guess I could try the Steam version if it's on Steam, and try that and see what that's like. At 30 frames per second in handheld mode on Switch, it's working just fine for me. And yeah, I think the level designs are really cool. There's a lot of variance in what you're doing. So you'll go through a section where you are like doing some difficult platforming, and then you'll start grinding on pipes, and then the next section will be different from that. And so it's got like a lot of good pacing where like you feel like you're always doing something interesting. I'm still pretty early, but I'm really liking it.
Other characters yet? Because that's a nice little pacing switch up. Yeah.
No, I haven't. So yeah, I'll keep at it, because I am enjoying it whenever I could get my Switch away from my kids. Honestly, my daughter, the 4-year-old, has started just wanting to run around in Super Mario Odyssey, and she does it for forever if I let her. She wants to do it before bed every night. She wants to do it all day, basically. And she's just kind of like running around and jumping around, and she's like getting hang of control of the controls. She's not like completing any of the
she's not getting any moons.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's like cool just to see that. I didn't think that would start until she was like 5 or 6.
Basic skills.
Yeah. And she's like really, really super into it. She's like, let me play Mario, Dad. I'm like, okay. All right. So it's hard to get the Switch Lite away from her. And even the other one likes to just like play a couple like kids games that I have on the Switch Lite. But when I get it, I'm playing Crash 4, but I'm still pretty early in it also, because I'm still playing on that Arcade 2020, that handheld I got, and I'm playing a lot of Advance Wars and Ridge Racer Type 4.
Gosh, Ridge Racer. Forget about Advance Wars. I know. I get it. You like Advance Wars. Ridge Racer. Oh, how good is that?
It's really good. Yeah, you're right. Is that one tuned for DualShock?
Yeah, it's just called the analog thing at first, and it had DualShock. Yeah. I don't think so, because I mean, I was playing it on the PlayStation Classic actually, so I didn't even have those.
Right,
it feels good with the D-pad to me.
Right,
I like playing with that.
So I was playing with the D-pad, and I thought it felt really good. There's something about that game where it's like, in other racing games, I'm like, I'm not going to make this turn. I'm starting the power slide at the wrong time. It's just going to feel wrong. And this one, it's like, oh no, I'm like, it's immediately responding. Now I'm just making this turn so sharply, and it feels so responsive and so good.
It feels so good. It might be Metal Gear Solid 1 might be like the best low poly looking games ever. Like that aesthetic is so perfect there. This game has like some good lighting effects when you go through the tunnels. It's like low poly, but it's so pretty. And one of the best soundtracks ever. The soundtrack is ridiculously good. Oh my God. It's like weird, like Euro rock, punk, electronica, dance. It's so, I guess it's what people just call that world music a lot of the time, right? I don't know, but it's,
yeah, I guess. Yeah,
it is a vibe, man, but it's so much fun. Have you just been doing random races, or have you done a Grand Prix with like the story mode stuff?
I've started the Grand Prix, but I haven't gotten far into it because of Advance Wars, which I've been playing more of. but you're right. All that stuff. It looks so cool. It looks really good on the screen. I think I'm going to probably play it more on the Retroid Pocket 2 when I get that, because that one has a 4x3 screen. This one's a 16x9. So it makes the 4x3 look a little bit smaller. And I want like that full glorious 4x3 of the PlayStation. And I'm going to rock it on there. But yeah, I mean, it's doing it for me. I really love that style. I mean, I prefer to play like in general, I prefer to play N64 games. I think most of them are better than PlayStation games. That's my taste.
See, I think
unless PlayStation
it's Mario
games,
64, I don't feel that way. Unless it's Mario 64, I think I'd rather play PlayStation games. Maybe Ocarina of Time, maybe Star Fox 64, and that's about it.
I think that like PlayStation graphics have held up better than N64.
Right. Well, because they're sharp. I mean, it's pixelated, but it's sharp. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas N64 is very muddy and yeah, and it's fast.
It's fast. There's like I think there's a lot more 60 frames per second games on PlayStation than there were on the N64, and so it's like got this really like kinetic, like hyperactive style to it. That it's like I dig it. I mean, I think that I like it more now than I ever have, I think. So
it is. When an Nintendo 64 game is 60 frames per second, which it's basically what F-Zero X, right? Like that looks fantastic. That looks
super it's awesome.
Good.
Yes.
Hey, RDX, son of a Fett with a 280 Canadian. I'll kill for a new Xbox Green Controller. Do you have one to give to our loyal fan here? Where's the Xbox Green Controllers?
You know what? I'll ask and see if we can get one for a giveaway. That's a good idea. But yeah,
a giveaway. Winking.
Those new controllers look cool. That electric green, I think they had, that looked pretty neat. I'm into it. But yeah, then I'm playing Advance Wars and I'm like 10 or 11 matches in. I can't stop playing. It's really good.
I haven't played in a while. If I get some kind of a thing, play Advance Wars again, get into that.
And this, again, it's like this screen on the Arcade 2020 is just a Game Boy Advance aspect ratio.
Right.
It's like, so it's just fits on there. Perfect. It looks fantastic. I love it. But that's it for me, Mike. Tell me about the big boys this week.
All right. So I have reviewed both Monster Hunter Rise and It Takes Two. We'll talk about Monster Hunter Rise here first. It's very good. They did a very good job of making a Monster Hunter game that's perfect for the Switch, right? They didn't just take Monster Hunter World and kind of just downgrade it. Even though, like, obviously, like, this doesn't look as good as Monster Hunter World, but they did a good job of building to the strengths of the Switch, making the right kind of setbacks. Like, it's 30 frames per second instead of 60, and it's not as detailed, it's not as much foliage and stuff like that. But, like, the game still controls very well. It still does look pretty, especially, like, they went for more of, like, a ancient Japanese aesthetic in this one instead of that kind of New World Fantasy thing. So it stands out because of that, and it looks very good. The animation work is still great. This is the first one of these games to use the RE engine. I think maybe the new Ghosts and Goblins did too, or Ghouls and Ghosts or whatever.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but this uses the RE engine, and it looks really nice. But it's just super fun. They added two new features that help out here, like not even in Monster Hunter World. The one is you have a so you always have that cat, what is it, the Palico or whatever. That's when it's like Palamento or something. It's a wolf, basically, like a dog. Yes. And so he comes too, and he works like the Palico in that he like helps and he fights with you. But you can also ride this thing, so it's a mount, basically. And it makes getting around the big map a lot better. And you can like attack while you're on his back if you want to. You can jump off of him. You can even drift when you're running around. It's like Mario Kart. You get a speed boost after drifting after a corner. So that's great, and that's convenient. And you also have this new wire bug thing, which is basically like a cool down, like grappling hook sort of thing. So you can use it for vertical movement when you're just exploring, but you can use it in fights for faster like evades or to like boost yourself up high real quick so you can do some aerial attacks. Each weapon has a couple of different things they can do with it. So it basically speeds up battles a bit. It makes things a bit more fast paced, makes it easier to dodge sometimes. Like I like using the greatsword in these games, which is like a very slow and clunky weapon. That's part of what makes it fun, but it's nice to have just a little bit more maneuverability thanks to these wire bugs.
But yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, is this going to be the one that gets me into this? I mean, I played quite a bit of World, and I see it. I see what people are into.
Yeah.
It's on a console on a TV actually, so maybe that's why it didn't fit into my life.
It's nice to have it on Switch. And I liked World a good bit. One of the things I didn't like was how kind of slow it was to get started. This does not have that issue. You get going pretty quickly here. The tutorial process is done very, very fast. It's not cumbersome. It's not trying to set up a story as much as World was, which, thank God, that was kind of an annoying part of World for me. There's even two separate hubs. There's like the kind of hub for the missions you're supposed to do by yourself. And then there's the one for the multiplayer stuff. And the multiplayer, like the online, I've tried it both during a preview kind of event, and I've been playing a bit last night now that the servers are live. It's been running really well, which is a shocker for Switch. So maybe all that stuff about them switching servers or whatever, and again, I haven't tested it enough. Like maybe it's been off for some people, I don't know. It's been running really well so far. Of course, it's still Nintendo Switch Online. So like stuff like, you know, making parties and doing voice chat is, you know, stupid. Painful, I don't really want to talk to these people anyways, though. So it's okay. I want to just join some random stranger's hunt and go around and hit some monsters with them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get it.
I think you should.
I think I'm going to, because like if it's world, but it's, or not, I know it's not kind exactly of world. It's kind of right. But it's
closer
feels like
to world than I would have thought. And
but it's
better
still a separate
in some
fork,
ways.
Right?
Okay. I probably like it better ultimately. Like I miss, like World is a very good looking game, and I obviously do miss that stuff, and this doesn't look as good. But like those improvements, they're very nice, and I would really miss them if I didn't have them anymore. And it's just great to have this kind of a game on Switch. And I know we had that other one, which was basically a port of the 3DS game. And that was that old style where like instead of one continuous map, it was like zones that had to load in separately. So who cares? And even loading times, really good. This is
I heard that. That's wild that the loading times are so good
it's
on this.
Good. Thing. Like this it's impressive. It's good. They did a really good job in this. I can't imagine them being able to do a better job of making a Switch dedicated Monster Hunter game.
Well, okay. All right. Well, then I'm definitely going to get it. That sounds, you know, I want to get into it, and it sounds like this is the one that might be able to do it. So I'm looking forward to it. Tell me the other things.
It Takes Two. I wasn't super excited for that, but it is really fun. I thought it's that Oscar guy, so it's going to be kind of, you know, artsy-fartsy, whatever. But it's just a really fun co-op platformer puzzle game. And it is like a 3D platform at its core, and the 3D platform mechanics are good, but then there's just these fun puzzles, and it's just paced so well. Like, it'll introduce a new idea, and it's often asynchronous, so it'll be like, okay, so the wife has a hammerhead attached to her back now, and the husband has nails. So you each have different things, and they kind of work separately. Like the wife can use the hammer to break some glass that's in the way, and the husband can throw the nails to stop some platforms from moving. But then you also have to use them together. Like, oh, I'm going to throw the nails in a way so that the wife can swing off of them, stuff like that. But then, like, you know, it doesn't like stick on that idea for too long. Then it moves on to something else new and exciting. It just keeps getting fun, and sometimes it's so silly that I really am like laughing a good amount. If you have somebody to play with, especially like couch co-op, it's a really fun experience. It's a pretty hearty recommendation. I can't think of a co-op game I've had more fun playing in a very, very long time, if ever. I'll be honest. It's good.
That's fantastic. The thing I've heard negatively in regards to this game is some of the writing, some of the takes on divorce. Christian in chat's asking, Mike, do you hate the book as much as everyone else?
The book is annoying, and I didn't say anything about the review, and I thought about it. The book is a misstep. But some of the other stuff,
What is the book? Like,
the whole conceit is that the husband and wife are going to get a divorce, and their kid's upset, and she has like a copy of some old, like, you know, marriage counseling book that she basically like wishes on that they stop fighting. So the book comes alive and has like a ridiculous like Spanish accent and yells at you. And I think it's supposed to be like, it's clearly supposed to be funny. It's not very funny, but a lot of stuff is funny. Some of the stuff about the divorce or like the writing outside of that, I think I like the husband and wife fine. I know some people say like the husband's awful and he's like clearly a terrible person. I don't know. Like they're clearly both at fault here, and that's why the marriage is falling apart. But look, ultimately, I don't really care about that stuff. I really don't. It's fine. I'm really excited about this game because the gameplay is so good and the puzzles are fun and all that stuff. And I think you're with me. Like, we just don't care that much about stories in general in games anymore. Like, I don't really care if a game doesn't have anything that interesting to tell me. And look, if you're coming to this game because you're hoping you're going to learn something significant about love and relationships, then yes, you are going to be disappointed because it does not it does not have anything all that interesting to say, I guess. I don't know if I necessarily buy that, like, oh, every game has something to say, or like we're in, you know, the 18th century and every story has to have some kind of Christian moral to it or something, you know.
Right.
It's nice if it does, but whatever. I was too busy really just being wowed by how inventive the gameplay was. It's
super that sounds way more important to me, more interesting. So yeah. Okay, I'm surprised. Does it have online co-op?
I think so. I think maybe, I don't know if you both need to know, because I play just couch with my brother. Why, are you afraid to play it with your wife? You're afraid?
She'll be like, oh, this is divorce. This is a good idea.
This is
like,
a great idea.
In chat, Christian's saying that the book is Joseph Ferris.
That's him.
The developer of the game. Yeah, okay.
All right. Oh, whoops. That's funny.
All right. I'll check it out and I'll see. I mean, my guess is it'll be hard to. It's like we didn't even have time to play that Mario game together. So like playing It Takes Two might
be one?
Challenge.
What Mario game?
The most recent. The 3D World.
Right.
Because we played it originally when it came out, but now we have two kids, so it's hard to like sit down and like make the kids watch us play or whatever, or like try to do it after they're in bed. Okay. And then I saw you playing Prey last night, so I booted it up as well and started it again.
Wow.
What are you thinking?
I haven't played it at all before, so when they released all those Bethesda games and added the frame rate boost, that seemed like the one I would go to. I'm liking it. Like, I know people said, like, oh, it's basically like System Shock or Bioshock. It is really Bioshocky. I think I didn't play it before because I was so thrown off by like the name. I still don't understand why they felt the need to call this game Prey.
The cachet that series has. The
series has no cachet. It has no cachet whatsoever, and now you're just confusing people. It has nothing to do with that game. It's not even really a reboot. It's just, and they even say as much, like, oh, well, you know, it has aliens. It's one of the dumbest marketing decisions I can think of.
It was honestly like just like some like duct tape, and they just wrote Prey
It absolutely would have just helped the game more to have been its own new thing instead of being associated with a bland 2006 shooter that people only played because it was an early Xbox 360 game. 2005, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. Right, because everyone actually played Prey because, oh, something to play on the 360. Now that we've all played Lost Planet together, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that weird period where everyone was moving on to the same games?
Yes, and everyone on the friends list was playing the same thing, and you'd hear about it on 1UP Yours. Yeah. They would say, everyone on my friends list was playing this game. Absolutely, yeah.
I don't mean to... OG Prey was fine. I think some people liked it more than I did, but it's not some beloved game that needed to be
like, right. It was not. And like, if anything, people were just asking for that Prey 2 that got canceled. Right.
And that's the other thing too, that always made this one weird to me. Cause I think it was my first E3 was when I saw that vertical slice of Prey 2, which made it look like a kind of like Blade Runner esque sci-fi alien bounty hunter game.
Yep.
And I know it was like a bullshit vertical slice, but it was like maybe the best bullshit vertical slice I'd ever seen of a game. It looked so cool. So I was still kind of just a little butthurt that we never quite got that game. I think that was the same E3 they were showing off Skyrim before it came out to give you an idea how long ago that was. But so yeah, so like, naming this thing Prey was always weird. It's still weird, but it's fun as far as just one of those like, yeah, you're in this kind of, you know, spooky area and go around and hack people's computers and read their emails and look out for the monsters. Like, yeah.
Have you found Dan Shu's name in any of the emails yet?
Is it?
Yeah, because Sean Elliott worked on this game, and so I think he puts Crispin Boyer's name in there as well. These are old EGM editors and stuff. I think so. Yeah, so keep an eye out. Look, read the emails and look at the names.
My mentor.
Yeah.
Helped get me into the industry. That's pretty cool. And I mean, I'm glad I waited too, because now I'm just playing it on for free and with 60 frames per second. It looks very nice. It's great. Uh-huh. So, what do you think?
I was going to say that this game seems to be having a moment. With someone in chat saying, weird, I'm playing it right now, like while listening to this.
I think a lot of people thought what I did, like, oh, well, this is.
Yes.
I think a lot of people just didn't check this out at the time, and now there's a very good reason to check it out.
Right, and it's a game that like you don't know if you're gonna like it really until you try it, and you know at $60, a lot of people are just like, well, I'll just wait, and then you wait a few months and people stop talking about it because not enough people were even really playing it at the time, and then you just forget about it, and so putting it on Game Pass, I mean, it's just such a like Yeah, this is exactly what Game Pass could do. It can make a game like Prey have a moment. And I think that's pretty cool. I bounced off of it originally. I think for me, it was, I had the combat on normal. I had the difficulty on normal. And I'm like, oh, these combat encounters are pretty stressful. I'm not exactly loving them.
Sure.
And I think at the same time, it's like, okay, and this is a game where, oh, they make a big deal about it being an immersive sim. And immersive sim means like you get to like be super creative and come up with your ways to interact with all these encounters and be really clever. And I always feel like when I go into an encounter and I just kind of do it really straightforward and I'm not being creative, it makes me feel dumb. It makes me feel like, oh, I am not getting the most out of this game.
You're just freezing everybody and then hitting them with a wrench.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, it makes me feel dumb. And it's like, okay, so maybe I'm just not good at these kinds of games or something like that. And I get a little bit disheartened. And so I'm starting over and I'm going to just try to find, I'm going to pick things that I wouldn't normally pick on the upgrade tree and try to do stuff really wacky. And see if I could just like really find more stuff. But I'm still like already like, okay, I think I might be vibing with this game a little bit more now. And also I put it on easy. So I'm like the combat encounters, I'm just going to try like to treat them like these wacky things. But mostly I just want to explore this place because it's a really cool setting.
I would almost like it better without the enemies. I know what you mean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to get that right. Like BioShock was fine because you basically had a bunch of cannon fodder and then you had the big daddies, which were really cool and meaningful encounters, right? And it's hard. This game's trying to replicate that a bit. You have like the gooey head crabs. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of annoying and it's hard. Also, for some reason, the 3D audio design in this game is bad on my speakers. It's the first one where like people are like talking in front of me and I'm just hearing it in my back speakers. Like I hear the sound all around me and I can't figure out why that's happening. Huh. So I'm having a hard time like tracking those little head crabs when they're attacking me. And then you have like the black goo people and like it's like kind of Big Daddy-esque, but not nearly as good. Yeah. But the environment, like the space station is really cool and it's fun to explore.
Yes. Anytime where I'm like just exploring the space station and like reading people's emails and figuring out how to get into spaces and stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff is awesome.
There was like the one point where you watch like that one like magic glass video of some guy and he's yelling at his assistant. And at the end of it, he like sneaks off somewhere and does some weird thing to open up a secret compartment. Then you're like, oh, I could do that too. And then you open up the secret compartment and get a bunch of like stuff. That was great. That stuff I love.
It's ideal. And yeah, of course, it's like, it's just trying to keep that immersive sim stuff alive. You'll find 0451 and stuff like that. That code that's in all those games. I think this genre is going to be able to survive specifically because Arkane is now making games for Game Pass. Do you think there's anything to that or were you never worried about this?
If you're going to have somebody make one of these, it's them. Hey, this game wasn't called Prey. More people might have played it and they could have made a sequel to it, but they might have to start from ground zero. Maybe. Why is this called Prey?
No, there is no good reason, Mike. If you're looking for a good reason.
Looks like they were so obsessed, we have to make a new Prey. We had Prey 2 in development and everyone's asking about it. Oh, well, this will be Prey. Well, that's not the point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we stopped asking about Prey 2 after that.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, mission accomplished there. One of the better opening title sequences too in a game.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. The text in the world and stuff like that. And then you find out like what the reality of that world and stuff. It's very well done. All right, Mike, I'm excited to actually play more Prey and get back to some Ridge Racer and stuff like that.
You're excited to start Battle Wonderworld. Let's see that install. Let's get it going.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. All right. Let's bring it up. Hang on. Let me, we're doing it live. Hang on.
That's just the Rocketeer.
Yeah, hang on. Let me bring up Steam.
Man, part of me wants to play it, but I'm not paying $60 for it. But you can.
All right, I'm gonna hit the button, and it's probably going to take up all the bandwidth. Yeah.
In an hour, 7 minutes, you're gonna be so happy. Your life's gonna finally have meaning.
I agree. Once I click this, it's all over.
It's all over. You sold your soul to that guy.
There's no getting rid of Balin.
Don't forget to install that day one patch. I don't want you to hurt yourself.
He looks like a pervert. I think Nick Turbo said that in our Discord.
You're going to have to do some streaming later. Oof.
Yeah, I'm not just going to do some streaming. This has Steam Remote Play where you can just send a link to a friend. So check your DMs later, Mike.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Oh, no.
All right, let me get rid of this. All right, everybody. We're going to get out of here. That's downloaded, so my bandwidth's probably going to get all messed up. Mike, tell people where they could find you on the internet.
Find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, T-O-L-K-O-T-O. Check out my 90s Disney podcast, 90s Disney, at 90sDisney.com. We did another tier list that'll be going up soon about the Kingdom Hearts titles, the literal names of the games. We put them into tiers.
Yep, I think we did. I think we did it right. I think we did everything right. Also, already you are becoming all pixelated, and there's a huge delay now in our audio. So, yeah, don't do Steam downloads during the show. That's an important
curse
thing.
Of Ballin.
Yeah, the curse of Ballin has come for us. All right, I probably will stream that later if I get some time after I get the kids to bed. Look out for that tonight, everybody. I'm Jeff Grubb on Twitter. Get me there. How Games Make Money. I had a new episode go up this week with Jake Randall, who is a big time YouTube streamer who helps people find PS5s and Xbox Series X's and stuff when they go on sale. He does these big streams where he like tries to get information about when they're going to drop. And he explains to you all the tricks to like make it happen. So listen to that. It's interesting. He also talks about like his cystic fibrosis and like living with that and making this job work for him. Interesting guy. It was a good conversation. Check that out. Again, join our Discord. Come hang out with us. The community is really popping. People are always talking about stuff. We watched that the Suicide Squad trailer, which, Mike, I know we always make fun of Suicide Squad. I think this might be my most anticipated movie. It looks so good.
Well, I don't like the Suicide Squad, but I do like John Cena. So my close John personal Cena friend, John
so,
Cena.
Yes, he's so perfect in this. I can't get over it. Okay, but come talk about us about the Suicide Squad with us and Falcon the Winter Soldier and all kinds of games and stuff. We talked about the Xbox showcase today because it was going on for forever. So if anything interesting was happening, people would say it in chat, and then we can go out and check the show. It's a good community. Come hang out with us. All right, everybody, we're gonna get out of here. Until next week, have a good one. Take care of yourself, and goodbye.
Bye.